We all know that divorce can have a major impact on kids, but so can living in a high-conflict home. Children need support when dealing with family stress and with the changes that divorce brings, but parents' own stress can make it challenging to respond to the kids' needs. Dr. Robert Emery has some suggestions about helping kids through one of the most difficult times that they'll experience. Find out the truth about children and divorce this week on Family Anatomy.
Hosts of Family Anatomy are psychologists, but they're not your psychologist.
So if you need to talk to someone about family or mental health issues, you could get a referral from your family doctor. This show is for information only.
Welcome to Family Anatomy, your source for parenting and relationship information with your hosts, Dr. Giuseppe Spizzano
and Dr. Brian McDonald. You can find us at familyanatomy.com or over on iTunes, and let's get right into it. We are talking about divorce today. Children and divorce, not just the divorce itself.
So yeah, we're going to be talking to Dr. Robert Emery today. He's a professor of psychology and director of the Center for Children, Families, and the Law at University of Virginia. And he's also an associate faculty member in the Institute of Law, Psychiatry, and Public Policy, and was the director of clinical training from 1993 to 2002. He's written several books.
And the one we'll be talking to him about today is called The Truth About Children and Divorce.
Dealing with Emotions So That You and Your Children Can Thrive is the subtitle of that book. And it's going to be a very interesting talk with them. I know we've talked about divorce in the past.
Yes, we have.
And unfortunately, it's a pretty common experience.
It is, and it's one that can... I know Dr. Emery talks about how some kids are pretty resilient to the impact of divorce, but it's still a stressor and it still has an effect on them. And it can have a lasting effect. When we were setting up this interview, there was one thing that came into my mind, and that was one of the supervisors I had when I was learning to be a family therapist used to talk about divorce and its impact down the road. And she used to say that, you know, you could be 40 years old and have parents who divorced when you were a kid, and one of your step-parents pass away, and the first thought goes through your mind could be, I wonder if mom and dad will get back together now. You know, not that it's a realistic thought, but just that parental relationship is so fundamental, right? It's so ingrained in you.
Well, I say that so often that, you know, to a child, the parents are like the two pillars that hold their life in a secure place.
Mm-hmm.
And when one or both of those pillars is jolted or moves or breaks down, it's a very scary, stressful situation for kids. Now, I think...
And you know what? The other thing is that it's so stressful for the parents that here we have kids who are seeing their parents' vulnerability, right? Which is, as we've talked with Dr. Neufeld before, that can be a pretty stressful situation for the kids as well.
No doubt about it. You know, the interesting thing that he talks about in his book is that, you know, divorce is like any other kind of death in a way, that there's a grieving process that has to take place, mm-hmm. except that with divorce, a lot of times there's not the same kind of supports that you would get when someone dies. You know,
it was so interesting to read that. We don't have the same rituals, but I mean, what happens? Your friends stay away instead of coming. I mean, nobody's bringing you a lasagna or anything like that or food to put in the freezer after a divorce. In fact, your friends might be choosing who they're going to remain friends with.
That's right. You know, sometimes you hear about these divorce parties.
Right.
They seem to be in the popular media more than I've actually seen them in real life.
Sure.
Because it's true. There is a lack of this kind of a ritual. Now, I don't know that you would want to call it a party, which is the other thing. What do you think? Should we get Dr. Emery on the line?
Let's get Dr. Emery on the line.
Hello, Dr. Emery. Welcome to Family Anatomy. It's great of you to join us today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and I just I wanted to talk about your book, The Truth About Children in Divorce, Dealing with Emotions So That You and Your Children Can Thrive. And, you know, the thing that I found about the book is it really helps parents by letting them know what they can do to help their children when they're going through divorce. It's an empowering book, and I guess that was one of the purposes of your book.
Yeah, it's, you know, divorce is an incredibly painful and tumultuous time in the lives, not just of children, but of parents. And, you know, in The Truth About Children of Divorce, I try to give parents a roadmap both to their own emotions, which people have a hard time sorting out, of course, and also to some of their children's basic needs.
And the thing that you focus on more specifically is on how parents can make their children more resilient. For parents who don't quite know what that means, what does resilience mean in children?
Sure. So resilient means bouncing back. Divorce is a time of great stress. It's not unusual for kids, of course, to be very upset, to be angry, to be sad, to act out their feelings in some ways or withdraw from the family. But it's absolutely the case that most kids from divorced families, and thanks largely to their parents who do put them first, are able to get back to their normal functioning, you know, normal in a different way, of course, where they're, you know, going to school, having friends, getting good grades, and, you know, going about doing their job, which I always view the job of a child is to be a kid. And that's resilience. You know, you go through something very difficult and hard, but you're able to bounce back.
Right. So you make this distinction between what the majority of kids from divorce are likely to go through and then what another minority are more likely to experience. Tell us more about that.
Sure. So some kids and some divorces are particularly difficult. And if parents, you know, can't find a way to eventually get a hold of their own hurt and pain and anger, and the conflict keeps going, not just in the, you know, the days and months leading up to the separation, but sadly, sometimes for parents, it's years and years later. Or if, you know, one or both parents are so devastated, they're so depressed or turn to other outlets, alcohol, relationships, whatever, that they lose sight of their children, that in circumstances like that, kids aren't resilient, or most kids aren't resilient. Kids are going to, this is going to be the start of a series of psychological problems for kids, you know, acting out that doesn't get better, you know, depression that is lurking there in the background, you know, struggles in their own relationships. So my overriding goal, of course, is always to help parents to be the best parents they can be so that their kids can be resilient and not become a statistic.
Right. And then I guess there's the more common response that you see in kids where, you know, they might be resilient, but they're having painful memories and ongoing worries about their relationship with their parents and their parents' relationship to one another. What can you tell us about that circumstance?
Well, so that's a very important point to bring up, and I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, if resilience is bouncing back, it's absolutely true that the bounce hurts. And that's the pain. It's even resilient kids have, you know, painful memories of their parents splitting up. This is not what parents want. It's not what or most parents want. It's not what kids want. And it's hard. It's painful. It's difficult. And that pain stays with kids. You know, sadly, and this comes up for me every time at this time of year in the springtime when graduation rolls around, the pain can continue for years later. So when you get an event like a graduation, when both parents want to be there, they can, you know, the fight can continue and the day can be all about, you know, the parents' old battles instead of the child's success in graduating from high school or college or whatever they might be doing. you know, that's incredibly painful. I can't tell you how many young people I've had crying in my office about exactly that circumstance, or weddings, or things of that nature. So even the most resilient kids can have these inner struggles, the painful memories, ongoing struggles in relationships. You know, if the family members can't put that aside. And while pain isn't psychopathology, it's not risk. These are still resilient kids. It's psychologically important, and I want parents to do the best to tune into their kids' pain.
So at the same time, I guess there's this minority of kids where, you know, the kids might start acting out in aggressive or oppositional ways, or even have some more internalizing issues like anxiety and depression. And I guess in those cases, parents should think about whether they need to get their kids professional services or services for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Divorce is definitely a risk factor. The guidance of a psychologist or other mental health professional, an outside expert, a mediator, can really help kids and their families. Although, you know, I want to underscore that parents are going to be the best therapists for their kids in the long run. So, you know, my bias is really towards, you know, involving parents and usually both parents in some form of therapy so that they can create, so they can really essentially still be a family for their child, even if it's a family across two different households. And if you don't mind, you know, which your question reminded me, I think, of another really important issue, a group of kids who I'm very concerned about, and that is some kids are at risk not because of acting out or of depression, but some kids end up getting put in sort of a hyper-responsible position in their families. They become the caregivers for the parents rather than the parents caring for them. They're always trying to fix the conflict or take care of a parent who's gotten depressed as a result of a divorce, or be their parent's best friend because the parent's so lonely. And those kids from the outside might look like they're really doing well because they're caretaking. Still waters lie deep, and there's a lot of turmoil going on underneath, and that's not a role we want to put kids into either.
That's right. So a child may look very independent and strong to a parent, but that's not the kind of independence that a parent wants.
Yeah, not at all. It's my very simple way to conceptualize it, which I think is deeper than my sort of slogan, but you know, I want parents and divorce to be parents so kids can be kids. And what I mean is I want parents, even after the divorce, to still do their job, to fulfill their responsibilities so that kids don't have to do it for them. Kids get to focus on the things kids should focus on schoolwork, on friends, on sports, on getting into a little bit of trouble but not getting into too much trouble, those sorts of things that kids do, so that I want divorced parents to let their kids have the childhood that most of us want every child to have.
And I guess what you're saying, too, is that if parents take some of the suggestions that you outline in your book to heart, that the chances that their child will wind up in that minority of children and have the more serious difficulties is going to be greatly diminished.
It's greatly diminished if parents can do it. Now, I don't want to say to you, and of course any parent listening to our conversation knows it's not easy. It's not easy to deal with the emotional devastation of a divorce, particularly if you're not the one that wanted the divorce. It's tumultuous for parents. I appreciate their deep hurt and the anger and the sense of rejection. I appreciate that it's harder, that they have to grieve somehow and find new ways to readjust to life alone. And it's not just emotional, it's practical, financial, and these sorts of things. So it's not easy, but it's essential for parents to do their job as parents, even in this incredibly hard time for their kids. Another one of my slogans that I try to remind parents of, particularly those who are, embedded in conflicts with their ex or wrapped up in their anger, is, one goal is to try to find a way to love your kids more than you might hate your ex.
That is a good way to think about it. And, You know, one of the studies that you did intrigued me. You looked at a group of 99 college kids whose parents had divorced at least 3 years ago, and half of those kids said that the divorce still causes struggles for them, that they miss having their father around, they worry about their parents joint events. And this was also interesting. 75% felt that they would be a different person if their parents had not divorced. And I was wondering, what do you think that 75% of kids meant by they would have been a different person?
That same question intrigues me, and it's something, honestly, I wish I had interviewed the college students in the study, you know, what they were thinking when they answered the question. You know, honestly, for some of them, I think it's kind of a, as young people say today, it's kind of a duh response. Like, of course I would be different if my parents hadn't gotten divorced. But I think for a significant number of young people, divorce is really a, you know, the event that shapes their life. It's a life-changing event. Not always necessarily in a car wreck sort of way. Sometimes in a road less traveled way, as you go down different paths in life. But it's a significant event. That's why people write books about divorce and, you know, write songs about divorce, because there's such deep emotions. But again, I think too long we being mental health professionals and parents, and I'm a parent myself of five children, and I've been divorced myself. With my first daughter, was her mother and I separated when she was seven, and last summer we hosted her wedding together. She's 31 years old now, and so you know, I understand the struggles, and I also understand the happy endings. But as I started to say, is that the emotional challenge, the pain, I think too long professionals and parents mislabeled that and said, you know, that's a sign of something deep and dark and wrong with the child. You know, it's a sign of psychopathology. And it's not. Pain is, it's not a part of life we like. It's not something we want to put in anybody's life. But it certainly is a part of divorce, and we can't avoid it. And even though we never would want to put anybody deliberately through pain, actually, you know, in the long run, suffering, all of our suffering in different ways, can make us, you know, deeper, richer, more interesting, and more sensitive people. And when I talk to young people whose parents divorced, I often see that you know, people who've suffered a little bit in their life have more substance to them.
That is interesting, too. And, you know, another thing that came out of the survey that I thought was worth talking about is that a number of the kids said that they missed having their dads around, and that sometimes they wondered if their dad even loved them. And I'm just wondering, is there anything about dads in this equation that is specific to them and is worth paying a little extra attention to?
Well, yeah, I think we've recognized this in the study, and more as a culture, that it's not just moms, that dads are, you know, incredibly important in children's lives. You know, sometimes in similar ways to moms, sometimes in completely different ways. And so, you know, my longstanding goal in doing a lot of work in mediation and trying to help parents to work things out themselves has been, instead of through the court system, has been with a desire to keep both parents involved in their children's lives, and actually we demonstrated in research that that can happen, particularly if you approach issues in a more working together for the child's sake framework from the very beginning. And so, you know, dads are really important. I do want to, though, qualify this. You know, too often the importance of dads in children's lives starts to get framed in terms of time rather than quality. So, you know, no kid cares whether things are 50-50 or 40-60 or 35, you know, 65 or 30-70, whatever, although too many parents seem to approach things that way. It's not about dividing time. It's about maintaining, a positive quality influence in your child's life and working together with the other parent, not against the other parent. It's not, this is not a if-you-win-I-lose situation. It's we both win if our child is happy and healthy and has two parents involved in their life, whatever the exact nature of the involvement, whether it's whether it happens to be equal or it's something that just works for your family.
That's good advice. And another thing that you have a book in your book is called the Children's Bill of Rights in Divorce. And I think it's something that every divorced parent should read because it can really help make kids resilient and keep them strong through the stress that they experience.
Yeah. In my Bill of Rights is a reminder, and I think the most basic message of that is that parents need to take a child's perspective. Again, I have great sympathy with the turmoil of emotions that parents go through in divorce, but I have to say I have more sympathy for kids because, after all, they're only kids, and this is their family. And it's, you know, it's just so easy to lose sight of that, and you know, that's why I'm talking to you today, is to help to remind parents of their child's perspective. And, you know, parents need to constantly remind themselves that, sure, my feelings are important, that what's going on with me is important, but also, wait a minute, my child has a different point of view. Their feelings may be different from mine, and I need to act, as parents consistently need to try to act. We're not, none of us are perfect, but I need to act in a way that takes my child's needs and wants and issues and perspectives into account.
That's right. Parents want to be able to put themselves in their child's shoes. One of the interesting things that I get asked, and I think is a very common question, is should I stay in this marriage for the sake of the children? And you say this is the wrong question to ask.
Yeah, that's a huge question and a huge decision. You know, parents, ultimately, the decision about staying or leaving, you can't make based on your children. You can't put the responsibility for that decision onto your children, or you can't put the burden for you making that decision onto the child. So parents need to decide they're in the marriage, and they need to really, or out of the marriage, and they need to own that decision. You know, maybe I'm telling you the experience that I've seen way too often will help parents understand what I'm trying to say here, is that I'm a college professor, have been for over 30 years, and over the years I've had dozens of students come to me and say, here I am at college, I went home for break, and my parents told me they were getting a divorce and that they've been staying together all these years for my sake. And it's like, that is such a huge burden to lay on your child. It's like, you know, the child feels guilty. They feel like their entire life has been a lie. Like, you know, their parents have been living in misery for their sake. And kids don't want that, understandably, don't want that weight of responsibility. So I, in many ways, admire a parent who makes the decision to stay in a marriage because they don't want to put their child through a separation. But they need to make that decision because they need to make that decision, not because it's, in quotes, for the child's sake.
Parents do need to take responsibility for those decisions. And part of what they need to think about is high conflict versus low conflict situations in marriage.
Yeah, that's a conflict, just in general, conflict is huge in terms of children's well-being. Conflict is a form of poison for children, fighting between parents. Research just came out in the past week or so, even that, you know, even sleeping babies are reacting adversely to their parents' conflict. Some new research having sleeping brainy babies and brain scanners was saying they're reacting negatively. And I've had adult children react negatively when their parents fight. So, you know, all kinds of conflict and fighting is a struggle for kids to deal with. You know, interestingly, and for a long time, actually, we've known, and it's kind of common sense advice, that if a marriage is really high conflict, that kids are actually going to be better off if their parents separate you know, if the conflict is out of control and goes on for long periods of time and it just is not going to stop, kids are going to be better off if their parents separate because they're out of the middle of that dispute. A interesting twist on this is, you know, more recent research has found kind of the flip side of that, and that is that if the marriage is low conflict, if parents have succeeded in doing the sorts of things that I want parents to do, which is to contain their emotions, to put their kids first, that actually kids from low conflict marriages can do worse after divorce. Now, before anybody jumps to the wrong conclusion, let me be very clear. So the solution to this problem isn't to fight like mad with your ex so that your kids will be finally separate, right? That's not what I'm trying to say. But I think it does mean, you know, I think that there is a message in there for those good parents who really do put their kids first, and I want them to continue to put their kids first. But maybe if you're a low-conflict family, maybe you need to give your kids a little bit of a warning about what's coming. Maybe you need to sit down and not fight, but sit down and say, hey, look, you know, we need to talk with you. Of course, this is dependent on a child's age, how you're going to talk to them. But, you know, things aren't going so great. Mom and I, dad and I aren't getting along. Kids today are going to jump right away and ask, does that mean you're going to get divorced? Are you going to separate? And honestly, you could say, I don't know. If you do eventually separate, then your child has at least a little warning of what might be coming and a little honest perspective to what's going on in the family. I've had any number of kids saying to me, I have no idea there was anything wrong with my parents' marriage until the day they told me they were getting divorced. And then parents say, well, what if you do stay together? What if you don't get divorced and you warn your child? Then my answer to that is, you know what, you've just given your child a very realistic and very hopeful portrayal of marriage, that some parents have, you know, you can have serious problems, that marriage isn't easy, there's lots of ups and downs, and you can work it out. So to me, it's a, you know, it's the right thing to do no matter what the outcome is.
Dr. Emery, I want to really thank you so much for being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or if they want to look up some of your books, where can they find you?
So I have a website called Emery on Divorce, completely free website that parents are welcome to access. The Truth About Children of Divorce is out in paperback, and in the U.S. it sells for, I don't know, $14 or $15. So it's available and widely used, there's other books that I've written that are probably more for a professional audience, but I think those two resources are there to help a lot of parents. And maybe I can close by telling you the dedication to my most recent book called Renegotiating Family Relationships. I dedicated the book to every parent who succeeded in setting aside their own emotions for their children's sake, and to every child whose parents failed to do that. And, you know, maybe some of your listeners can keep that in mind. It'll help them to do the right thing by their children.
That is a very nice sentiment. And again, thank you so much for being on Family Anatomy.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
So I hope you enjoyed our interview with Dr. Robert Emery. You can visit us at familyanatomy.com or email us at info@familyanatomy.com.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Google+. You can find us on Twitter. If you're listening on your iPhone or iPod, you can find us on the podcast app. As usual, we'll leave you with a bit of a tune by Brother Love, and he's over at brotherloverocks.com.
Thanks for listening.
See you in 2 weeks. So get up and sing. It's a family thing. Hey! You know what to do. FamilyAnatomy.com